One of the naturally occurring forms of motivation is peer pressure. Peer pressure is basically motivation, in other words. So, willpower and environment. Environment, of course, plays a whole lot, which is why there are many adages over the history of human existence that points to that. Okay, birds of the same feather flock together. Tell me your friend, I'll tell you who you are. This, that, and that, and that. In Proverbs 2, in the Bible, the wise King Solomon also said, I think if you want to be wise, I'm paraphrasing because I can't recall the exact quote. Something about a companion of wise men is going to be wise, and the companion of fools will be destroyed along with fools. And we also knew, this is knowledge that we know from school then. If you want to be good at maths, find the people who are very good at maths and hang around them. And by some form of osmosis or whatever, you're going to pick up maths gradually.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever and wherever you're listening to us, welcome to the Creatives Chronicles, the podcast for designers and developers. Here on the show, we share our experiences, our learnings, and our feelings. We keep you real. We explore topics and conversations to help you become a well-rounded professional. My name is Bright Emeka, and I'm your host for today. And as always, I'm joined by the boss himself, the man, the myth, and the legend, Bosuke Chukwunda. Good morning, boss.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Hello, Brad. Hope you had a nice week.
Yeah. Thank you for spending time with us this morning. Today, we are looking to uncovering the big question, the whys, and the reason for why we should, or motivations for doing better. Without trying to sound like a motivational speaker, we will try to do that today and give practical tips to stay motivated. There's this quote I'd like to start with. It's by John C. Maxwell. He said, "You don't overcome challenges by making them smaller, but by making yourself bigger." I don't know how true this is, but there's this thing that happened, a personal story. Sometime last month, I was like, I had goals and targets, and I had plenty bills that it was really, really hard not to get sidetracked, or how do I put this? There were burdens and debts that were plenty, so it was motivation for me to get working, and it was like the goal. The debts were the motivation for me. So we can find motivation in whatever means we want to find. So if it is in clearing your bills or not wanting to be broke, I think it is motivation enough. But for you, speaking about motivations and reasons to do it better, how do you think creatives could stay motivated?
One, to be motivated, you can't just be... Motivation has to have a focus. So what are you motivated about? Or what do you need motivation to do? Yeah, just like that stuff. I think then back in school, or is it in NYC, one of those student chants, "Are you motivated?" "Yes, I'm motivated, motivated, motivated." Actually, it doesn't work like that in real life. You're motivated to do something. So what's your goal? What's your task? That's motivation has to have a focus, number one. Then two, there have to be triggers. The environment has to be conducive for motivation. So what do I mean by that? Let's say your motivation, you want to gin up motivation to do some form of design work or to write a library or a product or something, or do some designs on Figma. It's hard to do that if, let's say, there are riots happening outside your house. There are unknown gunmen running around in your area. So the environment has to be conducive for motivation, just like in primary school agri, we learn about environments conducive for agriculture, for plant growth, or for germination. So motivation too, just think of motivation as that plant and it needs a conducive environment, the same way plants need a conducive environment to germinate and grow. And I think part of the things we'll be talking about is the elements of such a conducive environment, or how to create an environment conducive for motivation. Because motivation goes with willpower, and it can be sapped or greatly enhanced by the particular environment you surround yourself, you find yourself in, or the things you surround yourself with. So number one, we say motivation has to have a focus. What do you want to do? Or what are you looking for motivation to do? You have to be motivated to do something, or to act in a particular way, or to change something. There has to be an end goal for you to have motivation. So motivation necessarily is not a state of being. Yeah, you just wake up in the morning and I'm motivated to do what? Nothing actually, but I'm just motivated. I feel motivated. That's not how it works. I think that's something that the motivational speakers don't focus on. They just focus on motivation and it itself as an abstract concept, but motivation does not exist freely in the atmosphere. This to think back to some of my chemistry knowledge. There are some compounds that can't exist freely. They can only exist in bound form in nature. So motivation is like that. Motivation needs a focus to exist. It cannot exist freely in the atmosphere or in nature.
Motivation drives us towards a goal. Motivation is like the vehicle, but it's not the destination in itself. So it's a good thing you mentioned that it's not just the destination. There is where motivation is leading you to. There could be positive motivations or negative motivations. This is when we focus on we use positive outcomes as reinforcement for doing better. And then you could say negative is when we are trying to avoid a negative outcome, and then we use that outcome, put it in mind, and then make it the driver for making us do better. A practical example is, I don't want my landlord to come and carry my property and throw me out of the house. This is a negative outcome I'm trying to avoid, right? So what I would now do is, okay, what are the steps or actions I would need to do? Putting this outcome in mind, I don't want to see this outcome. I would need to now work towards making sure I have money to pay. Yeah. So,
it's actually the same thing. It's just where you're looking at it from. So, motivation, like most other natural phenomena, it does not have morality. So, you can be motivated to do good things, and you can be motivated to also do evil things. But what you described is basically the same thing. It's still all positive. So basically, like I said, motivation needs to have a focus, a direction. Like, it's kind of like a vector in physics. So when you can look at it from the point of view of where you're being motivated to go, or the end state, that is what you term positive motivation. Negative motivation basically is looking at it from the point of view of where you're living. But the beginning state, what you're trying to avoid. So, like here, example, you want to look at what you're trying to avoid. You're trying to avoid, okay, the landlord throwing you out of the house. But that is not that. That's it. You can look at it as motivation has both ends. There's the negative or the undesirable. Let's say the undesirable, start state. The undesirable start state is okay, being chased out of the house. But what is the desired positive state you're working towards? Shelter or security, comfort. So you basically don't want your landlord to disrupt your comfort. You don't want your landlord to impair your security. You want a roof over your head. So that's what you're running towards. And you're running towards that, you avoid this. So it's the same thing, it's the same outcome, just looked at from different ends. So of course, if you're motivated to do something, you're motivated to do something because you feel what you want, what the states you're pursuing is better or is an improvement over certain states, or it's better than your present states, or is an improvement over your present state, or it is a safer state than some certain states you want to avoid. In this case, working towards making sure that every day you keep your end of the agreement between you and your landlord ensures that you run a, you avoid states like being that lead to you being chased out of the house or that will lead to your shelter being compromised. Just, it's basically the same phenomena being looked at from different ends.
Yeah, true. And you mentioned something in passing, I'd like us to even talk a little about it. And that is environment. Staying motivated can be a huge drain on willpower, and we know that willpower is a finite resource. So ways we could prime our environments to make it easier, to make the disciplines we want to enforce, to make staying motivated easy.
Another thing I wanted to point out in person is that one of the naturally occurring forms of motivation is peer pressure. Peer pressure is basically motivation, in other words. So, willpower and environment. Environment, of course, plays a whole lot, which is why there are many adages over the history of human existence that points to that. Okay, birds of the same feather flock together. Tell me your friend, I'll tell you who you are. This, that, and that, and that. In Proverbs 2, in the Bible, the wise King Solo also said, I think if you want to be wise, I'm paraphrasing because I can't recall the exact quote, something about a companion of wise men is going to be wise, and a companion of fools will be destroyed along with fools. And we also knew, this is knowledge that we know from school then, if you want to be good at maths, find the people who are very good at maths and hang around them. And by some form of osmosis or whatever, you're going to pick up maths gradually. So basically, that's the environment. If you want to do something to always keep the wellspring of natural motivation flowing to do that thing, you have to be in an environment or configure your environment to be conducive to the actualization of that goal or to chase you towards that goal. Let's say you're in the bush and you want to run very fast. You want to scale some certain walls you've not been able to scale. And what's a good motivation, even if not a practical one? If you put a hyena or a bear to chase you, even if you have never won a 100-meter race in your life, you're going to run very fast, faster than you've ever run. Because there's something, the environment has been configured to motivate you to run as fast as your legs can carry you. That's an impractical example, but it's something that is vivid enough to give us an idea of what we are talking about. So if you put yourself in an environment where everything is configured to push you in the direction you want to go, of course, it's the environment itself will replenish and rejuvenate the motivation to do those things. If you want to be a medical doctor, put yourself in an environment that's conducive to that. You're going to enroll in a medical program. You're not going to go and enroll in a carpentry trade school or go and enroll in a law program. You're going to enroll in a medical program. What does that do? All those things are basically you're putting yourself in the right environment towards that are going to take you in the direction of your goal. So enrolling in a medical program, getting the medical books, finding yourself in the midst of other people who are pursuing the same goals or who have the same focus as you. That's another thing too that has to be part of that motivating environment. You find yourself in the midst of people who encourage you to follow your goals, one. People who are chasing the same goals as you, who have the same interest as you too. And what in an environment where you have majority of the people has the same goals or as an interest as you and are chasing the same goals as you, there's going to be an absence of people who are going to be detractors. That's one of the things too that reduces or that negatively impacts motivation, detractors. So if everybody in your pack is actually working to become a medical doctor, working to become a very good designer, the best designers around, the number of detractors are going to be zero, or they're going to be the smallest number possible, which helps your motivation. Three, it also helps you to gauge progress, to measure progress. When you configure your environment rightly, you can easily measure progress. Okay, you can know if you're on the right track, if the people you came into school with are in a level above you Of course, nobody should tell you that you're not actually performing well if you have a carryover and every other person in your pack does not. Those are clear indicators that you're not making the right moves towards pursuing your goals. Let's say you're a programmer in a group of programmers and the others spend at least 3 hours every night writing code and they're churning out side projects every week and you're the only one that is not, or you're churning out at a level that does not match the average frequency of the group. It provides a very clear indicator, a very clear scorecard as to how you're performing relative to the group, or how you're performing relative to what others are doing to pursue the same goals you want to pursue or that you're pursuing. So those are benefits from finding yourself in the right environment. You get all these attributes, all these tools for free. And it also helps too, because there is that human need or human drive to compete, which is peer pressure. So that's why I said motivation is the peer pressure is basically motivation, in other words. So when your peers or people you feel you're better than tend to be faring better in terms of pursuing the same common goal that you're pursuing, it's tend to spot some things inside you. You tend to want to do better. What are they doing that I'm not doing? How do I improve my effort? How do I work harder? How do I work smarter? And that increases motivation.
Awesome. I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit, but before then, I really love everything you said about environment and positive peer pressure. It's awesome. It's mind-blowing what this can do for motivation and staying focused. It's totally amazing, right? I think it's the Navy SEALs. They have something called swim buddies. That is one of the ways they survive Hell's Week during their training. They have a partner during the training that, okay, this person will be like, whenever you're feeling really, really down and you feel you can't give again, there's no strength or energy left, that person would be like a source of energy, because you people are shoulder to shoulder and you can see the person is encouraging you and pushing you to do better. You definitely do better. So definitely positive peer pressure is awesome. It helps. And environments too that you mentioned is phenomenal, right? You want to draw more, put pencils where you see them, make your environment easy to do those actions that are going to help you get on the goal you're trying to achieve. Okay, now, devil's advocate. What if someone says, I don't have anyone in my circle that can inspire me or that is inspiring me? Everybody that I'm close to, we are all in the same level. Nobody's even wanting to do better. How can I find these people that would now be inspiring figures for a career?
Environments are not static. Environments change either due to your actions or due to actions beyond your control. So the more you advance, the more your environment, as in when there are changes in your life, changes in your life will usually lead to changes in the environment. So most of us grew up with childhood friends. We may still be on cordial terms with them today, but we don't hang out. We don't spend as much time as we used to do. If you guys change location and go to live in different cities, of course, the environment is going to change from what you grew up with. If you guys pursue different careers, such changes are going to happen. So the environment is usually not automatic. So if your current environment is not configured in a way suitable for you to help you achieve to pursue your focus or your goals or your objectives, then you have to make changes. The people around you are not like-minded in terms of the goals you're looking for. Then let's say if you're a designer, hang around other designers. We are sociable creatures. We are not meant to, we perform badly on our own. And that's where peer pressure and everything comes in, because how do you measure? Who do you look up to? Who do you learn from? What experiences do you learn from? What do you learn? Where do you learn how to avoid if you're not around people who either have done what you're doing or are in the process of doing what you're doing? Another part of the environment, which I didn't mention, is also mentorship. So remember, I spent most of the time talking about people who are your peers, who are doing what you're doing, or who are pursuing the goals you're pursuing. But another valuable set of people, which is a vital ingredient of a good environment, or if you rightly configured environment, are mentors. Mentors are basically, mentors are people who have already done what you're planning to do as against your peers, who are still in the process of doing what you want to do, achieving what you want to achieve. So mentors have achieved what you're working towards achieving. Okay, so I don't have a good environment. I'm a designer, but I'm always around programmers. I'm always around musicians. I'm always around whoever are not designers. Then find designers. We have a lot of technology communities. Communities are one of the ways of putting yourself in the right environment to motivate you towards your goals of becoming a world-class designer. So I'm sure there are a lot of Figma groups and developer groups and all or whatnot. And for developers too, groups like WeCode and Laravel NG and the rest of them puts you in the right set of people. And within that grouping of people, basically it's those groups serve as a certain mechanism. So within that group of people, you can now pick, you're not going to be equally close to everybody in the group, neither are you going to interact equally with every member of the group. You can find from there, within the right group of people or privileged group of people, you cannot find the few who more closely align with your interests, more closely align with your goals and objectives. So that's one way to go about it. So if your environment is not rightly configured, you're going to change, you have to change it. It will change itself automatically. The environment will wake up and think, this guy wants to be a designer, but the way I'm currently configured, I'm not configured to help him achieve that. Let me change myself. No, that won't happen. So you have to change your environment.
Awesome. You're not a tree. You can change where you are. We are not stuck to the physical environment where we grew up in or where we are living in. As Boshike mentioned earlier, the amazing online communities we could become part of, and they become the environment we so desire, and they become positive peer pressure for us. They become mentors. And oh my God, mentors do a lot in terms of inspirational figures. Like, you are able to see what is possible in your career field. You're able to see someone that has done the things you're looking to do, and you can then model your processes and follow in their steps to get the kind of results they get.
The viral song that's written some few months ago. Mentors are the people who can tell you, hey, Gungun, you're dancing towards the express. You better start coming back from there. Or if you follow these paths, you'll find yourself hugging a transformer. So they tell you, they help you avoid pitfalls.
Yeah. And one way I have found that easy to get into circles with mentors is to go with the mindset of doing something for them and not just necessarily being in a parasitic relationship, right? Nobody wants to be around someone that always takes and takes and takes and takes and never contributes. So while you're looking for people who would be positive motivation and positive peer pressure for you, also return the favor. Find ways you can also practically contribute to the lives of people you are around and mentors you're looking to get. Everybody needs something done for them. Everyone has a need, right? If you can find a way to meet a need in the life of someone you admire, definitely the person will pay attention to you and is now invested in your progress. So go approach this with a mindset of giving back.
Not even a mindset. It's not a mindset. Mindset makes it sound like it is optional. It's a requirement. Human, if you did anything about philosophy, man is basically selfish. That's a basic condition of all humans. We tend to focus more on things that benefit us. We tend to attract. We tend to put ourselves in an environment that benefits us. We tend to only do things that are to our benefit. Basically, the operant question in everybody's mind is, "What's in it for me?" It might be. It's show itself up in terms of our behavior or in terms of our actions? But that is the underlying question. What's in it for me? Even you too, that is going to the mentor. You're going to the mentor not because this mentor is so wonderful and you love him or her so much. It's because associating with this mentor, interacting with this mentor is going to have positive benefits for you. So you going to the mentor, you're already trying to fulfill a selfish goal or a selfish ambition or need. So what about the mentor too? So the mentor did not get to where they got by being a doormat for everybody to come and take from them and nobody to give them. So generally, you should in every interaction, generally, to enlist others in helping you, you have to look for how it benefits them. What's in it for that person? Why should that person help me? Not because the person is a good Christian or the person has good morals, but it goes far beyond that. Why should that person help me? Or a better way to phrase that question is, how does this person helping me helps the person? How is it in this person's benefit to help me? If you can answer that question on behalf of that person, then it's going to be easier to get people to help you. And we do that in our commercial transactions. We use money as a proxy answer to that question. I want tomatoes. How does this market woman or market man providing me tomatoes help them? Because that is what the money answers, the money we exchange for the tomatoes, for example. I want this. How does this person helping me benefit that person? So in many of our commercial interactions, money is a way to answer that question, or is a generally acceptable answer to that question. But even beyond money, let's say, why are you employed? You're employed because your boss thought, okay, giving you a certain amount of money a month is going to be in your benefits. It's going to make it in your benefits to help him achieve his goals. And people getting promotions is basically like saying, okay, if you increase my money by X amount a month, that is going to make me motivated to help you further or to help you better towards actualizing your organizational goals. So it is something that we all know, but people tend to only think about their own selfishness. You forget that the same way you are preoccupied and engrossed with your own selfishness, it also applies to every other person, mentor or not. Hence the term selfishness. So we are all preoccupied with our own selfishness. For me to help you, it has to be in my benefits. I'm not going to help you to my detriment. That's one thing you should know. Just like you are going to look out for that particular mentor who is going to be a very big boost to your career. You're not going to look for a failure or a bomb because they don't help you. So the mentor too needs help. Everybody needs help. So for each of us, our helpers are on each other's timeline, as they say on Twitter. So always have that at the back of our minds.
Yeah, awesome. Today's episode has really, really been valuable. We've seen that motivation is not the destination itself. It's a driver that is taking you towards a goal. And willpower is a resource we use as a catalyst for motivation. Willpower is exhausted when we are looking for motivation. So we should find ways to automate our decision making so that our willpower resources are not depleted, right? And a final thing for me would be, everything we want to do can be started in 2 minutes. This concept was from James Clear. He said that every action we are looking to start, we can start it within 2 minutes. So we should optimize for the start of whatever behavior we want to internalize. So make the start of any action, make it easier, and then we would be motivated.
Motivation, another thing we fail to mention is, okay, some practical aspects to motivation. So there are also practical requirements. Somebody who is sleep deprived cannot be motivated. So one way to keep your motivation at a good level, at the max, is to ensure you get enough rest. Ensure you're healthy. A sick person is hard to be motivated to do anything when you're sick, other than to take steps to get well. So ensure you're in good health. Ensure you eat well. It's also very hard to be motivated to do anything other than assuage hunger when you're hungry. Then ensure you're secure. So basically, ensure that the basic needs of a human being are met. Your basic needs, your shelter, your clothing, your food, feeding, and security, because those are so basic that if any of those is lacking, all the basic imperative of any living thing is survival. So all you're going to be thinking about if you're hungry is, how do I eat? How do I get the next meal? And your motivation is going to be focused solely, your physiology is going to be focused solely on solving that problem. Even if you are trying to look for motivation to run for the president of the country, it's going to take a back seat to first solving the problem of hunger. Like we say in vernacular, okay, say now we don't chop, they do X or Y. That is a saying that crystallizes that particular knowledge. So ensure that you are not sleep deprived, ensure that you're healthy, ensure that you've eaten, and then you can now start thinking about environment and everything. All those are components of the environment, but those are very practical, very basic components of the environment. So all we discussed was with the assumption that those are taken care of. You've eaten, you're healthy, you're fit to an appreciable degree, you're not sleep deprived, and so on and so forth. So, and lastly, think of motivation or the environment around motivation that helps or supports motivation as real estate. If you get the location wrong in real estate, every other thing, all your efforts are almost tuned to failure at worst or mediocre outcomes at best. So you might have the best house in Nigeria in Sambisa, but nobody's going to go there to go and live in that house. Or you might have the most nondescript house in Lagos, but it's going to be sought after by a lot of people because of the location. So that's the same thing with motivation and environment too.
Yeah, awesome. They'll say location. Yeah, amazing analogy. Thank you so much, boss. And thank you for tuning in and listening to this episode of the podcast. Please do remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast player. You can visit the creativeschronicles.com/subscribe, pick your podcast player of choice and hit the subscribe button. Also, you can reach out to us and tell us ways you are staying motivated, what you are doing, what your routine is like. You can reach out to us via email, thecreativeschronicles@gmail.com, or tweet at us at Brian C. Maker and at UK Church. If you found value in this episode, share with friends and loved ones. Remember to always be creating. Go out today and create awesomeness. We will see you next week. Bye for now.